Good morning, welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 21st Perek Chof Aleph of Sefer Yeshayahu. This is a curious Perek in a number of ways. It's divided really into two major sections. One is a curious prophecy given to the Midbar Yam, this sort of this nation beyond the desert of sea, Kesufos by Negev, which is in the southern regions of this desert, where and that's the first section. And the last section deals with what seems to be a prophecy towards Arab nations in the desert of the west, or the east of Israel. So let's just focus on the actual facts and then try to understand how those facts line up into a coherent message. So the first section of the Perek really runs from Pasuk Aleph all the way to Pasuk Yud, goes as follows. Yeshayahu talks about this prophecy to a land beyond the desert, which most of the Mefarshim understand as seems to be explicit towards the end of this prophecy, is referring to Babylon, to Babel, up north of Israel, the area of Iraq, the region of Iraq today. And the description is a very powerful prophecy which describes destruction of such proportion that all animals are able to loot and come in and take the spoils. So there's going to be such a destruction which happens to Babylon that everybody, all the neighbors are going to come in. There's going to be this void of control, and anarchy will set in. All the taxpayers that used to pay this nation will all sigh of relief as they are unburdened from their tax paying to this nation of Babylon. And upon seeing this vision, he experiences pain and fear. He talks about the terrible fear. Nivhalti mera'os, I'm scared of seeing. This Rashi explains as either that this is the empathy which Yeshayahu is expressing, even though he's the prophet of the nation of Israel, he's expressing the empathy for the suffering of other nations. Or as Chazal say, maybe he's just projecting the fear or the voice of the Babylonians themselves as they all experience this in the future. And the description is quite powerful. It's a description of how terrifying this onslaught will be on Babel. And it's just sort of this beautiful scene, I mean, a poetically beautiful scene. Arocha shulchan tzofoya tzofis. As they're laying the table, that the watchman is getting up on his tower in fear. Ochol shosoy, as they're drinking and eating. Kumoy hasori mishchum again. They're pulling up their shields in fear. So there's this, you know, this terrible fear which is being experienced. At this point, the watchmen will report innumerable beasts of war approaching. Every animal is coming, every army is approaching, and the powers of Persia and Media are stepping up like the lion on the doorstep. And when this news comes of the four of Babel, Hashem's word will be vindicated. That is what Me'es Hashem Tzvakos Elokei Yisrael Higalati Lachem. This is what I told you from the Hashem, the God of the legions. That ends the first section, which is about the prophecy to Babel. Before we move on to the next section, it's worth wondering is when did this prophecy refer to? When is this referring to in history this will take place? So most of the classic Mefarshim, the Metzudas as an example, will say that this is referring to the time that Babel, as a power which will conquer Assyria, when it itself will fall after 70 years of its power. And this is referring to, we can actually pinpoint the dates as the Metzudas, to the night of the feast of Belshazzar, or Belshazzar's feast. That's what's referring to that night where they're laying the table and the watchmen and the shields. That refers to when the Medians are being brought in by his conspiring servants, and Persia and Media take over the power of Babel. So it's a quick rise, quick sink of Babel. The problem is that really, if you think about it, it's not really Yeshayahu's business at this point in time. Yeshayahu is speaking to four kings, the latest of whom is Chizkiyahu HaMelech. I mean, he has a little bit of time with Menashe, but really, as he describes it, the last one is Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu's worry on his plate is not Babylon. It's Assyria. It's Sargon. It's Sancheiriv. We're talking about a different nation. Babylon at this point in time is not even on the horizon. It's on the radar screen. What in the world is he doing talking about this future power? It's very strange. And maybe just said to that when it does arrive, that we still have his word to know that it will ultimately be fine. But there's an interesting suggestion which is tendered by Rav Amos Chacham, who is the author of the Dat Mikra's Pirush on Yeshayahu. The Dat Mikra is the academic Torah set. It's the white or pink set of Tanakh, which is in most libraries. And the Dat Mikra, Rav Amos Chacham, makes the following suggestion. He says, no, maybe he's talking about the Babylon of today, because right now, at the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, there is a Babel under a king called Meradon Baladach, And he, in fact, is already fighting against Assyria as one of the neighbors trying to fight the Assyrian Empire, which is taking over the entire region. And in fact, we know that when we learned through Melachim that this fellow, this king of Babylon, has actually came to visit Chizkiyahu HaMelech. And Chizkiyahu HaMelech showed him all his storehouses and his armaments, and that was actually one of Chizkiyahu's failings. What's interesting about that is that means to say that as Maradan Baladach is rising in power, and there's a squashing of his revolt against the Assyrians, there is a certain sense of hope among the people of Yehuda, because they look to Bavel as perhaps an ally against the terrible power of Assyria. And maybe what Yeshayahu was saying is, don't think about them as being an ally, because I'm going to crush them now through Assyria themselves. Meaning to say, in the same sort of vein as we learned in the last perek, about Yeshayahu talking about the area of Ashdod and the area of Philistines, which was seeking allies to fight against Assyria, and Yeshayahu was saying, don't ally with them, don't join the coalition. A similar message is being given, which means to say, as much as Yeshayahu is talking to the nations of the world, at the same time he's really talking to Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and he's saying, Chizkiyahu, don't sign the contract, lie low, don't join this coalition. And that seems to be the message. Ultimately, the audience is, in fact, Israel then. We turn to the last section of this perek. The last section runs from Pasuk Yud Aleph to Yud Zayin. It's a very interesting prophecy, in a certain sense, opaque prophecy, very poetic. It's a maso, it's a prophecy to Duma. Duma seems to be referring to, as the Mefarshei Pshat say, one of the Arab nations who lives in the area of Duma. And it's this fascinating description of Shomer Gam Milayla, Shomer Gam Mamileil, that the people keep turning to the watchman to say, is the night all right? Is the night past? And the Omar Shomer Osa Boiker, the day has come, says the watchman, Vagam Laila, but night is going to come again. Into Bayun Bayu, you're going to have to ask again then, meaning to say, night is terrifying. And they keep asking the watchman, did we survive the night? And the watchman says, another night's coming. And that's how this is sort of the tone of fear in the camps of these of Duma. And similarly, turning to this area called Barav, to the tents of Kedar, which again it seems to be an Arabic nation, Hashem is describing through the words of Yeshayahu that the tent dwellers will be living in the forest before the destruction of their camps, meaning to say they'll be refugees, they'll be running from terror of war. Unfortunately, something we're seeing today in the Middle East again, and they'll be running from place to place because of the Cheshes Derucha, because of the drawn bow, COVID Milchama, and the heavy losses of war. And within the next year, Hashem says, the entire success, the entire power and kavod of Kedar will be ended. Ki Hashem Elokei Yisrael Diber, because God of the hosts has spoken. That seems to be the end of this prophecy. And what's curious about this is, we have very little description in Tanakh of Israel's dealings with the Bnei Kedar or Duma at all, if anything. Yeshayahu's prophecy to them seems to be completely out of left field. We don't really know why Yeshayahu is even trying to address them. So if you look to the Abarbanel on this parak, the Abarbanel, Radon Yitzhak Abarbanel, has a very fascinating insight. He quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi, who says that, you know what, it's not referring to the Arabs at all, even though there are resonances today, in today's time and age, about the prophecies he's talking about the refugee crisis and the war in the Middle East. Nonetheless, he quotes Yerushalmi, who says that it's referring to Duma. Duma literally means silent in Aramaic. It's referring to our silence. Where do these Arab tribes live? In the area of Edom. It is referring to us as the refugees, us as the silent exilees of Edom. This is referring to a far greater, far longer, far more devastating golus than even the one they're about to see. This is referring to our golus, which we're in today. And in fact, the Yerushalmi reconstructs the conversation between Bnei Yisrael and what the Yerushalmi calls Yeshayahu Rabbeinu, Yeshayahu our teacher. And the people ask Yeshayahu, they say, when is the golus coming? When is the night ending? And he says, Asa Boiker. They ask, Shomer Gam Milayla, Shomer Gam Milayl, when is this night going to end? Omar Shomer. And the Shomer says, Yeshayahu says, Asa Boiker, the morning is coming, don't worry, it'll end. And they ask him, Vagam Laila, but will there be another night? How can we get through all this darkness? And his response is, Imta Ba'ayun Ba'ayu. If you ask, then ask. Meaning, if you pray, that's how the golus is going to end. It's a conversation about not just this golus, but about all exiles in the future. And this actually takes us to a very fascinating halachic point, and this is our closing point today. And that is the Gemara in Baba Kama talks about the first Mishnah, which describes that there are different categories of destructive parties that we're responsible for. One of them is called, you know, obviously our animals, and if our animal damages wantonly or for its own pleasure, these are different categories that you're responsible to pay for. And one category of Hezek is what's called the Mav'eh. Mave is a strange word. The Gemara says, what is a mave? And the Gemara says, my mave, Rav Omar, mave ze Adam. The word mave refers to the humankind. Why? Because, quoting our pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perek Chof Aleph, Omar Shomer Osa Boiker, Ba'gavagam Laila, Im Ba'ayun Ba'ayu. If you want to ask, ask. Meaning, the categorical description of a human being is a person who asks, a person who prays, a person who reaches out to God. In fact, so much so that the word mav'eh means a human being because their description, their basic DNA is a person who asks and reaches out to Hashem. And what Yeshayahu is saying is the way we escape our incarceration right now is if we are willing to ask. God willing, we should see that b'karav yamein. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.